Last week on Tuesday marked the 20th anniversary of the Sydney Olympic Games opening ceremony.
Our regular presenters Zoe and Tom spoke with Emeritus Professor David Rowe that morning about how Australia is still feeling the impacts of hosting the Games to this day.
However, that week saw so many highlights from a proud moment in Australian sporting history, we felt it was only right to dig a little deeper with the show's resident sporting expert.
So we are joined right now by our sports correspondent from Western Sydney University, Dr. Michelle O'Shea, to shed some additional light on the Games. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning and thank you so much for having me and absolutely any opportunity to cast an eye back 20 years and really think about some of that archival footage that's been making its way back onto TV screens has been absolutely brilliant. And I mean, from the bid announcement through the lighting of the Olympic cauldron and then Cathy Freeman's absolutely momentous win in the 400 metre final. And I know just for my two cents worth, certainly one of the most amazing moments for me as someone who was able to sit in the stands and watch the games was absolutely the men's 4x100 team win. And it was the first time in 36 years that the Australians were able to solidify a triumph in front of a home crowd against the Americans. And who could forget kind of Michael Klim and his air guitar moment, so it was pretty priceless for me anyway. But look, in terms of the game's legacy, really Sydney 2000 put Australia on the map. And we've spoken previously, that is with Tom and Zoe, I have, about the economic rationale for government investment in terms of the procurement of large-scale sport events. And the Summer Games for Sydney was certainly a way to assert the city and indeed the country as a tourist destination. But by extension, it also showcased to the world Australia's capacity and expertise in large-scale event delivery. And following on from the Games, many contractors went on to provide goods and expertise. And indeed, many Australians were involved in the management and coordination of Games and were headhunted by subsequent Games committees.
It sounds like these Games really switched up and kind of elevated Australian sports. How do you think the Sydney Games can be rated compared to other Olympics, both before and after?
Yeah, and so we very much held that tag for a long time about the best Games ever. And I think certainly by virtue of the planning and delivery of the Games, we were certainly a standout. And I believe that we remain that today. And I think the other thing that's really important to think about by virtue of, and I guess I'm looking through this through a particular lens because we are Australians, but I think we've got an absolutely brilliant a venue legacy. And if you look at sort of other countries and just sort of thinking a little bit about the Atlanta Games, that was completely funded by private enterprise. And so they don't have the legacy by virtue of venues that we do out at Sydney Olympic Park, for example. And, you know, notwithstanding the large venues, i.e. The football stadiums and the like, things like the Aquatic Centre, for example, they have upward of 1 million visitors per year. So many of those legacy items aren't just for elite sport, and they're not just for professional sport, but they're just for people like you and me. And I think the Aquatic Centre is a really good example of that. So, yeah, I think in that respect, we still buoyed really well. I think we also did well by virtue of cost. And certainly I know that the Paris organisers are very much looking at reevaluating spend there. And I think certainly Tokyo was absolutely set to be just as good a Games as ours. But unfortunately for them, we've seen these external events, which were absolutely beyond their control.
Absolutely. And it certainly sounds like, as you've just touched on, there were several economic benefits that Australia reaped from hosting these Games. But with all that in mind, do you think there are any drawbacks, economic or otherwise?
Yeah, and this really is, I guess, the very contentious issue. And when we think about those economic effects, they typically are inbound tourism numbers. And then obviously you've got jobs and money and the movement of money through the economy. But certainly for Sydney, and one of the really big issues for us, again, just signposting Tokyo, was external events beyond our control. And organisers had certainly anticipated and projected a notable increase in inbound tourists. But we had 9/11, and then we had the SARS outbreak, and certainly those two, again, external events really impacted Sydney and Australia's capacity to, I guess, gain some of that economic benefit that we had indeed anticipated. But with all that said, you know, I think it's also important to think about what we might sort of think about in terms of non-quantification. And so the social good and those softer benefits and outcomes, which are inevitably more difficult to quantify and thus kind of assert in terms of their benefit effect.
Sports correspondent Dr. Michelle O'Shea is talking with us about the legacy of the 2000 Sydney Olympic Games 20 years on. So a lot of other major sporting moments have taken place over the past 20 years. What are some other legacies we can look back on?
Yeah, and I think one thing that I guess I'd like to sort of think a little bit about and talk about is the Paralympic Games. And while we're yet to officially mark the 20 years since their commencement, that will be next month, I think that was certainly a really big outcome of Sydney 2000. And that was very much, a window into broader issues as it relates to access and the valuing of people with a disability. And that certainly put sport and I think more broadly, there was a political agenda. And what I think would be really fabulous to see, and certainly hopefully when Zoe and Tom return from their break, is to really talk about and celebrate the Paralympic movement and the achievements of those athletes, both Australian and globally. And for listeners, there's actually a documentary out called Rising Phoenix, and it's very much a look at and a celebration of Paralympicism and very much looking at it through the lens and the eyes of the Olympians themselves. So I think, you know, for my mind, people like Louise Sauvage are just absolute champions of sport and have really done a lot, and certainly she's been quite vocal in as part of the celebrations of the Olympics to sort of reposition and talk about a valuing of Paralympic sport here in Australia as well.
Absolutely. And it's been a pleasure to look back on 20 years as we've been talking about, just to cover the Sydney Olympic. We could probably talk about this for the next whole week of shows. There's just so much content, isn't there?
There certainly is. And as I said, it'll be good to talk about the Paras. And then we've got so many other brilliant sport events coming up. We've been able to secure the Women's Football World Cup and, lots of sport fodder, hopefully. Got finals football, lots to talk about over the preceding few weeks and months.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle, for another show.
Brilliant. Speak soon. Bye.
Bye. Sports correspondent Dr. Michelle O'Shea from Western Sydney University there, talking through the legacy of the 2000 Sydney Olympics, which celebrates its 20th birthday this month.